Go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9. Going to be reading verses 23 to 26 this morning. I'm not positive we're going to get that far, but we're going to read through it anyway. 23 to 26. Hebrews chapter 9. Therefore it was necessary for the copies of the things in the heavens to be cleansed with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor was it that he offered himself often, as the holy priest enters the holy place, the high priest enters the holy place year by year with blood not his own. Otherwise he would have needed to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now once at the consummation of the ages he has been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank you so much for this week. Lord God, where we remember the fact that you sent your son. And he came, what we celebrate today, Palm Sunday, he came in triumph. Father, all the people said, yeah, make him king. Yeah, he's going to save us. Yeah, he's going to make our nation great. But that's not why you sent him. And that's not his purpose. That wasn't his purpose. And as he rode in, he wept even coming in before he would weep coming into Jerusalem because they had the truth and yet they couldn't see the truth. Lord God, help us to recognize the truth when we see it. To understand that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And that no one can come to the Father except through him. Father God, help us to give him the place of the triumphal entry in our life, Father, the place of kingship. Lord God, understanding that it's not a physical king, he is a spiritual king. And Lord, help us to recognize what he did this week and what it means. What he did was die on the cross, willingly, voluntarily. Die on that cross. Not like the animal sacrifices that weren't voluntary at all, but his was. And Father God, it was an unblemished man. Father, thank you so much for what that unblemished blood paid for, our sin. And Father God, as we come next week, help us to recognize and remember what the resurrection is and the life that that brings. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your word. Help us to see what is there this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Excuse me. In Hebrews, where we have come in Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews is writing a letter to most likely to people as part of a church, who many of them were saying, you know what, we're being persecuted, there's a problem, I'm not feeling good about this, we're going to go back under the old covenant system. That way we won't have problems. We won't have the problems that are going on here. And he was writing to them in hopes to help them to carry on, to continue on towards salvation. But the theme of the book is that Christ is superior. He's superior to the old covenant system. He's superior to all of these things. And so he's writing with that purpose in mind. And the problem going on isn't that there's persecution. The problem isn't that there's problems with the people. The problem is unbelief. We see that as we go through it, especially in chapter 6. But the problem being unbelief, that they haven't come to the realization of salvation. They haven't come to recognize the fact that Jesus is the Christ. So he goes on and shows that Christ is superior. He's superior to the prophets, to Moses, to the angels, to even to Abraham and Aaron. he tells us that he is our high priest. He is the spiritual high priest. So a lot of the things he's doing, he is comparing the old covenant with the new. He is showing what the old covenant really was. Because these people were steeped in the old covenant. They understood the old covenant. They understood the altar and the holy of holies and the holy place. They understood all that and what the high priest did. So he shows them that Jesus is a spiritual high priest after the order of Melchizedek, an eternal high priest, who was even before Abraham. But shows us that, shows us the covenant made. What we looked at last week was the fact, the last few weeks, was the fact that there had to be a blood sacrifice. And that's what the copies, which are here on earth, everything that they saw that they wanted to go back under were copies or shadows of what's true in heaven. They wanted to go under the old covenant system where you had an animal sacrifice. Well, that's just a copy of what had to be in heaven. Where you had the Holy of Holies, well, that's a copy of the throne room in heaven. So all of the old covenant was a picture. It was a picture to show us the new covenant. And so that's what's important about understanding that. That's what's important about knowing. So he goes on and he's comparing the two now, the old covenant to the new. But what we learned last week was there's no forgiveness without blood, that blood sacrifice. Christ died once for all. That's what we're going to look at today. He died once for all. So what we're going to start with here is the necessity for cleansing. The necessity for cleansing. Verse 23. It says, therefore, it was necessary for the copies of the things in the heavens to be cleansed with these. I'm sorry, for the copy of the things in the heaven to be cleansed with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. He says, therefore. Whenever you see therefore, you see what it's there for. So you look back a little bit, and what we learned is that the people needed cleansing. The temple, tabernacle needed cleansing. The book needed cleansing. Remember it says that the high priest would take the hyssop and dip it in the blood and sprinkle the tabernacle and sprinkle the people and sprinkle the book and he sprinkled the altar. All of that had to be cleansed ceremonially because it was a picture of what's going to happen permanently, eternally. Right? So it was a picture for them to see. So they would cleanse it by throwing a little blood on it. The blood of animals. So ceremonially, it was cleansed. Now we looked at that, and what we saw in verse 22, the end of verse 22, it says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So forgiveness comes with the shedding of blood. Now, under the old covenant system, it was over and over and over, yearly at the Day of Atonement, but even then, even daily, when they would bring in their sacrifices for sin, when people would bring their sacrifices, it had to be done over and over and over. Because the forgiveness was ceremonially. The forgiveness was temporary. They could come before God temporarily because of the blood of these animals. And that was to point to the blood of Christ, what we're going to be celebrating this week. Celebrating what we're going to be remembering this week is that Jesus shed his blood for us. But the fact was that cleansing had to be done with blood, which meant there had to be a death. It wasn't just a little bleeding, it was the blood of the animal. The cleansing equaled forgiveness. But look what it says. It says, therefore it was necessary. The word necessary literally means from the Old Testament, or the original language, it means complete obligation. It had to happen. This had to happen. This was a complete obligation. For these things to be ceremonially cleansed. All of these things. The copies. Look what it says. It was a complete obligation for the copies or the shadows, what we saw earlier, of the things that are in heaven to be cleansed with these animal sacrifices. So the copies of the things which are in heaven. It was necessary, it had to happen, that they had to be cleansed with the animal sacrifices. The things in heaven, you're talking about that the tabernacle is just a shadow or a copy of the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies is a copy of the throne room of God. The tabernacle is a copy or a shadow of heaven itself. You have the altar, you have the mercy seat, you have the Ark of the Covenant. All these are copies of what's true. And we look at that and say, well, I'm not understanding that. Remember that one time when I had a picture? I got Heather. Heather Nelson. It was her birthday. And I got her up here. She's a chocolate lover. And I had a picture of a Snickers bar. And I showed her that picture. I said, here, I want to give you a Snickers bar. And I gave her the picture of the Snickers bar. And then I opened the Snickers bar and started eating it. She almost hit me. Because I had the real thing. And I was tasting the real thing. And she was standing there looking at me. And she did. She almost came after me. I ended up giving her one. Okay. But I gave her like four or five pictures. But those pictures, you can't eat. Well, they don't taste good anyway. Right? But they're not the real thing. They're not the real thing. And this is what we're dealing with here. The Jews had a step up on everyone else. Because they got to see a picture or a copy of what heaven is really like. Of what God demands. Of what happens in heaven. They got to see that. And that's what we're looking at here. But the problem is they took that picture and they started trying to eat it. They said, this picture is good enough for our salvation. This picture is all we need. And that's what these people wanted, to go back under that system, under a religious system. This wasn't God's system. This was a religious system that the people had made over years and years. They had made laws and they had added over 600 new laws to what God gave to try and be good enough for God. So he says, look, it's necessary. It was necessary under that old covenant system. It was an obligation for that blood to be sprinkled on the copies, on those pictures of what is true. But look what it says. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. The old covenant things were ceremonially cleansed. They couldn't remove sin. It was just a copy. But the heavenly things had to have a better sacrifice. The heavenly things are God's very throne room, the true mercy seat, which is in God's throne room. The true dwelling of the majesty on high. Heaven itself we're talking about here. Now look at the next verse. I'll come back to this, because there's something that's fascinating here. But in verse 24, for Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. It says Christ did not enter into this tabernacle here on earth, because it was an earthly tabernacle. He was not a high priest on earth. He was not born in the right line. He wasn't born as far as in the line of Levi, the line of Aaron. So he would not have been a high priest here on earth. He could not go in there according to law. But he was our heavenly high priest. So it says here, he did not enter this holy place made with hands, which is just a copy of the true one, but he went into heaven itself. And he went there, heaven itself, and he appears in the presence of God for us. So we look at that, and I'll tell you, as I was studying this out this week, it was just, it came alive to me. It was so neat. It was so neat to think about this. He didn't go into this earthly tabernacle because he is after a different order. His high priesthood was after the order of Melchizedek, which is an eternal high priesthood, which I mentioned earlier. He even came before Abraham, and Aaron had come out of Abraham. Jesus was an eternal high priest after that order. So he didn't enter the earthly tabernacle. He went into heaven itself, to God's very presence, into the throne room of God. And Jesus took the better sacrifice. He took a better sacrifice to a better place for a better purpose. And all of that was for us. All of that was for us. You know, Jesus came from heaven. He came from heaven. He was there before, but now he's there on our behalf. He was in heaven before. In fact, in his high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, It says, "Now, Father, glorify me together with the glory that I had before the foundation of the world." So he was there. He was there in glory. He had glory before. And according to Philippians chapter 2, he emptied himself. He set that glory aside so that he could come to earth and people would not die looking at him. People would not fall over dead because of his holiness. He set that look aside. He didn't set his deity, he didn't set his godness, but he set that look aside so that he could come and that he could die for us. So Jesus always was, and he always will be, but he is now in heaven in the throne room of God for us. Before, he was there. Now he's there for our benefit. It says that right here. It says, now to appear in the presence of God for us, on our behalf. Isn't that amazing that God himself would do this? This is for our benefit, and it is on our behalf. So, question comes up. Why did the earthly things and the heavenly things need cleansed? Because it says that in verse 23. The copies of the things needed cleansed with animal blood, right? That's what we talked about. There had to be forgiveness, a temporal forgiveness. There had to be a ceremonial forgiveness for people to come before God. So why did the earthly things need cleansed? Well, that's easy, because there was sin, right? That's an easy one. But it says also that the heavenly things needed cleansed. How were they tainted? What was wrong with them? Well, the earthly things, the tabernacle, the altar, the mercy seat, all of those, it says that they sprinkled with that animal blood to atone for the sin. Atone means to cover over the sin so that God didn't wipe them out because of sin. All of those needed cleansing because they were holy things. They were set apart for God. Okay, remember that old tabernacle, under the old covenant? These things were set apart for God. The Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, all this was God's stuff. And when the high priest, but it was made with hands, earthly. So when the high priest would enter into the Holy of Holies, the first thing he would do is take that censer of incense and set it in there, and then he'd come back out and get blood for himself, and he'd bring it in, sprinkle it, and come back out. But he would do this very quickly. But the first thing he would do was put that censer in there, because that would make smoke and incense so that he couldn't look directly onto all of those things. Because of the holiness of God. That was a picture. It was a picture, all right? And I think part of the reason that incense was in there is so God didn't see us really the way, or he didn't see the high priest and the people the way that they really were. But today he would spread that blood, and then he would rush out, and the people would go, "Oh, whew, he lived." They were so glad when he lived, because that meant God accepted that sacrifice. The atonement was made. But in all of those things, the altar, the mercy seat, all of those things. Let me ask you, were they dirty? Why did they need cleansed? They were cleansed because they were tainted with sin from the people. The mercy seat never sinned. None of that ever sinned. The filth of sin had infected them because of the people. The cleansing was needed because sin was so bad. It went completely against the nature of God. Anytime man came before God, he and whatever he was associated with needed to be cleansed, even ceremonially. They needed that ceremonial cleansing. That's the only way that they could live, coming before a holy God, which was pointing to the true cleansing. And you know, that's why when the high priest went in, he had the names of the tribes of Israel on the breastplate, and he had on his shoulders the names of the tribes of Israel, six tribes on each shoulder. That was to show that he was his strength in carrying them in, but also his heart of compassion for the people and going in. And that was a picture of what Jesus had done. I mean, he has compassion for people, his heart. But he also has the strength to carry us, to guide us, to carry us and who we are. So all of this was a picture. And I know I keep going over this, but what's amazing is these things, they weren't tainted by sin until the people came before God. And that's the reason that the people had to be sprinkled. That's the reason the book had to be sprinkled. That's the reason that the altar had to be sprinkled, and the mercy seat, the very things in that Holy of Holies had to be sprinkled. And it was sprinkled, and the sin was covered over, and you know, nobody went in there for a year. Nobody did for a year. But when they went back in, they had to do it again. They had to sprinkle it again. Now, those things didn't sin that whole year, but the people did. So it was the sin of the people that they were looking at. The Holy of Holies wasn't wrong itself, but the sin tainted it. But look what it says in verse 23. It says, in the end of the verse, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. The heavenly things. Now think about it for a moment. In heaven, is there sin? There's no sin in heaven. That's where God is. That's his dwelling. So the things that these things picture are perfect. You have heaven is perfect. You have the very throne room of God, which Isaiah said he saw the angels, the six angels flying around, with wings that covered their face, they had six wings. The angels were flying with six wings. Two covered their face, two covered their feet, and two to fly with. But it was a very holy throne room of God. There was no sin there. So why did the heavenly things, the true heavenly things, need what it says in verse 23? Need a better sacrifice than these other things. I mean, you couldn't take the blood of animals to heaven, but they needed a better sacrifice. Well, they weren't earthly. It couldn't be an earthly sacrifice, so they were heavenly. They had to have a heavenly sacrifice. But why were they tainted? Why were they a problem? Well, in Romans chapter 6, what we see is, what's it say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What's he say? God forbid. How shall we who died to sin live any longer therein? And he goes on and says, when you're baptized, when you're saved, you have been baptized into Christ Jesus. And when we're baptized into Christ Jesus, we not only died with him, but we'll be raised with him. And scripture says that Christ is in us and that we are in him. Christ in us is the hope of glory. We are in him. And it also says that on the cross, he became sin for us so that we might become what? The righteousness of God in him. So we are as righteous as God when we're in Christ. As a Christian, you realize that, don't you? I know this is completely off the trail, rabbit trail type deal, but you realize you are as righteous as God in Christ. That's a scary thought to me. I mean, it's a wonderful thought, but a scary thought because I don't act it out. But he's already forgiven me for that. I am in him. He is in me. But you see where I'm going with this? We are in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ entered heaven on our behalf. And he entered heaven because he was the sacrifice. He was that better sacrifice that's talked about right here. The things in heaven needed a better sacrifice. Why did the things in heaven need anything? You know why? It's because of you and me. We are in Christ in heaven. And we were the ones tainted with sin. And Christ became sin in nature on our behalf. And Christ went into heaven with us. There wasn't any problem in heaven before us. And that's why he had to die. That's why he took his blood. That's why it was his blood that was shed, his sacrifice. He went to heaven to show that. And guess what? Under the old covenant, the high priest had to do what? They went in once a year and they represented the people. They had the names or the names of the tribe on their chest, on their shoulders. They represented all the people. They went in by themselves. The people never, ever went into that Holy of Holies or they would have died. Guess where we go? What does Scripture say? We go into his very throne room boldly. Boldly, we can go right into the throne room of God. What did Isaiah, when Isaiah saw the throne room, he said, I'm a dead man. Because I'm a man of unclean lips. I live with a people of unclean lips. I'm dead. And the angel did a ceremonial thing, you know. He touched his lips with the coals. But guess what? When Christ died, what happened in the Holy of Holies? The veil was rent from the top to the bottom. It's open. It's wide open now. We get to go into the very throne room of God. Why? Because the things in heaven, heaven itself, all of those things in heaven have been covered by the blood, have been cleansed completely of our stain. When we go in there, we would have stained. No, it's been cleansed completely of our stain because of the blood of Christ. Isn't that fun? This is what we're celebrating this week. We celebrate, I keep saying celebrating. In essence, we are celebrating. We're celebrating the fact that Jesus came and he died for us. We're celebrating the payment for sin that caused. But we're also remembering. We remember that because it's hard to celebrate the death, and yet we do, in a way. So I'm struggling here because I don't know how to say it. But what I want you to see is that there was nothing wrong in heaven until we go, until we're there. And then there's a problem unless Jesus Christ's blood has cleansed us. And it has. And that's why we have an advocate in Jesus Christ. And he didn't do it for his benefit. He was there. He had the glory before. But he came, he set that aside, came to this earth, and he did it for us, for our benefit, not for his. So he is there now representing us as a perfect God-man. You see? A perfect God-man. It had to be a perfect man sacrifice, God sacrifice. Only God could have put that together. But God's dwelling place can never be tainted with sin. So he took us in him to his dwelling. There had to be, that was necessary to have a blood death. And folks, that's what happened 3 days before Easter, right before Easter. That's what happened. It's what we remember this week. You know, what we think about today, the palm branches, the coats, the triumphal entry. The people, they laid their coats down, and that was a sign of submission, that they would submit to him as their king. They waved palm branches, which was a sign of victory. We don't know exactly how many, but most likely, because it was the time of the Passover, because of the crowds that are together, there were probably hundreds of thousands of people doing this. Hundreds of thousands of people doing this. And yet, a week later, less than a week later, they're shaking their fist at him saying, crucify him, crucify him. It's the fickleness of the crowd. But here this week, what we're going to be looking at, what we're going to be remembering is that Jesus came and he died voluntarily. And when he did, his sacrifice cleansed everything in heaven that we would be tainting, that we would be messing up, because he cleansed us and he cleansed everything in heaven that we will be. Where we are with him right now. The Bible says that even now we are in the presence of God in Christ. In Christ. So spiritually we are there. And you know, that should never, ever, 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 ever make us proud. That should humble us immensely. Knowing that God himself sent his son to take care of what we could never take care of, so that we could actually be in God's presence boldly. The angels aren't even in there boldly. The angels covering their face, we get to go in boldly. Why? Not boldly, proudly, but with confidence, knowing that Christ has paid the price. We get to go in with confidence. Folks, to pay that ultimate perfect sacrifice is just amazing. And he did it for our benefit. I'm not going to finish those last two verses. I'm going to wait. I figured this would happen. But we're going to celebrate Easter because of the resurrection. But the death is what broke sin's hold on us. And that's what we remember this week. We're brought into God's presence in Christ without the sin problem because of his blood. We're going to learn about that next week. But because of the blood he shed, we get to go into God's very throne room in Christ. Don't ever forget that. We don't go in by ourselves. We go in Christ. Because his benefit is given to us. His perfection. His righteousness. He became our sin so we could become his righteousness. And that's a possibility for everyone. That's why we share that this week. That's why I remember that this week. So this week, as you go forth, share that truth. That Jesus is the Christ. That he came and that he died for us. That he died for the sins of the world. That he lives for us and he wants us to be his children. He wants us to come before God boldly. Not in pride, but in confidence. Knowing that we are in him. If you know someone who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, share with them the good news. That it's a free gift. The wages of sin, death. Free gift of God, eternal life. Eternal life. Share with them that. If you have never trusted in that, in Christ, I would pray that even today you would come to know the joy of having a daddy like God. Having a Savior like Jesus Christ. Having someone who is willing to leave the glories of heaven, come and get mocked and get tortured and beat on and marred more than any man, the Bible says, and die on the cross, and then go into heaven as the perfect sacrifice with us, in him. Go into heaven with us, in him. Folks, that should never bring pride. But if you have never trusted in Christ, now's the time. Today is the day. This week, as you remember what Jesus has done for you, remember that you can have a relationship with him, not a religion. This book is all about problems with religion, but a relationship with Jesus Christ. You who have been saved, rejoice. Rejoice. Rejoice that the Lord has entered our world and become the sacrifice that we needed so that we can enter his, so that we can be with God forever. Let's close in prayer.